Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast, coming to you from San Luis Obispo, California.
Where you stand?
LA living grid locked in the fast lane. Trying to strike a rich match, play my cash game. At least a couple degrees from the coast where they got funny.
Welcome to Fansmanship.com podcast, episode 104. Here with former Cal Poly basketball player, Cal Poly alum, Jordan Lewis. Jordan, how's it going?
I'm doing well. How's it going?
It's good. It's good from this end. So tell me, where are you right now?
I'm actually, I've been back home for a few days. I was in San Luis all summer, but I just moved back home for a few days before I take off for Israel. I'm actually at the pool with a couple of my buddies, you know, catching up before I take off.
That's not bad. That's not a bad way to spend your last few days. Now when you say back home, should I picture like Marin County up in the northern part of California there?
Yeah, up in Terralinda, up in the beautiful Marin County.
Yeah, nice. I think one of my college roommates I think went to Terralinda High School.
Oh, really?
Yeah. What's the other high school right there in San Rafael, Terralinda?
So there's San Rafael High and then there's Terralinda High where I went.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, TL, I think, was where Matt went to school. He was a big water polo player. Anyway, long story. But so you grew up in Marin County. How did you end up at Cal Poly? That was kind of before I started following the basketball team super closely. You were, I think, recruited by Kevin Bromley, right, to come to Cal Poly?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so... actually, you know, it's funny, growing up, I never heard of Cal Poly, before, not until about my junior year going into my senior year did I even hear about Cal Poly. My family's from the East Coast, so when we moved out here, you know, those colleges that were kind of in between, you know, LA and the Bay Area, we didn't really know about, only the big ones. So I had a summer league game in Terralinda, and one of the, you know, Dr. Don was at the game. We played Petaluma at my high school, and he saw me play that game, and then he talked to my coach's father after the game. They were good friends, and then he started telling me about this place called Cal Poly, and I had no idea about it. And then that kind of started the whole idea of even checking it out, and then I got in contact with the coaches, came down and checked out the school and fell in love with it instantly.
Yeah, absolutely. So so it was kind of something where they found you before you found them. I mean, you got to have some grades to get into Cal Poly though, right? So, you know, maybe they knew something about you ahead of time. I don't know.
Yeah, well, you know, I applied. I was lucky enough to get in you know, kind of went from there. I feel very lucky and privileged the fact that I was able to, you know, go to Cal Poly. I loved it.
Yeah, so you're there for what? A couple of years, 1-2 years before there's a coaching change. How is a coaching change? I always wonder, and you know, asking the guys in the moment, it's kind of hard to process it probably and to know everything that's going on. But being able to look back on it now, 4 or 5 years later, like what was that process like for you as a player? How did that go down for you?
Yeah, so I'd been with Bromley and his staff for 2 years, 2 seasons, and you know, I'd never been through a coaching change before, so it was pretty big for me. I really didn't know what to expect at all. But really, you know, with a coaching change, it's really a chance for you to kind of prove yourself again. It's kind of a fresh start. You know, you just gotta. It's a chance to really, you know, make a name for yourself and show your new coach, you know, what you can do. And it's a good opportunity for all of us. It was me, Dylan Royer, Matt Tichenel, a few of the guys, and then Ryan Darling. You know, we were there before the coaching change, and you know, we all kind of went through it together and had and Sean Lewis and Lorenzo Keeler.
Yeah, I was gonna say, don't forget about Lewis and Keeler either.
Yeah, all of us together. So you know, it was a new experience for me, but it was, you know, it ended up being a good thing.
Yeah. So, when Calero came in, I mean, obviously you're trying to prove yourself to a new coaching staff, but the coaching staff also has to kind of, on some level, prove themselves to you. And it seems like that transition, looking back on it now, I mean, it could have taken a few years for Cal Poly to make any kind of big, you know, steps forward, strides forward. And it seems like, you know, that transition went about as well as it ever could have. Right. I mean, I'm not missing anything, I don't think.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, you know, Calero came in, he sat us down in the locker room, you know, he told us, you know, the goals he had for the program, this season and in the future, you know, and he started, you know, creating, you know, his culture at Cal Poly, and, you know, we all bought in, and, you know, I think it really came from us all buying into his idea and the idea of, you know, our team, you know, the closeness and the family aspect of our team.
Yeah.
And that's really helped us speed up the new adjustment to the coach and everything like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so like that first year, I always marveled at how, you know, Calero had, like, especially Keeler and Lewis playing at the levels that those guys were playing at. Having watched a few of those games in the last season of the Bromley era, including, I think, the very last one of the year, you know, that, you know, I was just marveling at how these guys, you know, were kind of just playing a little bit different with a little bit different energy. And like you said, kind of together, I would imagine something like that can almost be like a unifying force on a team for a period of time. Would you say that's correct?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think the real thing is we just really, Calero stressed, you know, the family, you know, the family strength of the team and everything like that. So we learned how to pull together and kind of feed off each other more than we had been in the past.
Got it. So here with Jordan Lewis, of course, Jordan graduated from Cal Poly, I think two, three years ago. It's been a while
2012.
Now. 2012.
All of 2012.
So this will be the upcoming season is the third season without Jordan on the Cal Poly roster there. And so after you graduated, Jordan, you sat out for a season, and I kind of wanted to ask you about that and that decision. Were you in grad school? What was your plan that season? And talk about that year kind of in between that you either took off or were in grad school. What were you doing during that time? Because I saw you around the team a lot the year after you graduated.
Yeah, so after I finished my senior season, I had a few classes left over. So I ended up graduating next fall after my senior season.
Right, so right. Which is pretty common for athletes to have a couple of classes left over and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, so that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to go finish up my classes. And since I was around, you know, I talked to Coach Calero about, you know, opportunities to help out with the team and everything. And he brought up the idea of doing being a student assistant coach.
Uh-huh.
So that's what I was doing up until the point where I graduated. I was a student assistant.
Got it. And what was your major at Cal Poly?
Biology.
Biology. Okay, so that's not that's not a slouch major for sure.
No.
What? What kind of duties do a student assistant coach do? Like, were you to butcher grammar like I just did in the last sentence is something to behold. But what were the things that Calero had you doing? Was it things like helping with scout team defense or offense and defense kind of things, or what were the things that you were doing that season?
It was very basic. You know, level things, you know, since I'd been in the program with Clara for three years, you know, I pretty much understood his philosophy. A lot of stuff I did was really helping out with the freshmen and the guys that were new and needed, you know, help understanding, you know, the defensive concepts, offensive concepts, and just kind of all the transition stuff from high school to college.
Sure.
You know, that was really where I was helping out the most.
Is coaching something you think you'd like to do in the future?
You know, I've thought about it. You know, I love helping players out and kind of getting them to, you know, help them improve and all that stuff. I really enjoy it and the competitive aspect of it as well. But I don't know. Right now, you know, I'm just kind of focused on playing. You know, maybe when I'm done playing and all of a sudden done, if I have the desire to coach, maybe that'll be a direction I pursue.
Yeah. So, So then, you know, you sit out a year and you see, you know, other guys that go and play overseas. Ryan Darling, I think, did. Amari Furman. Yeah. You know, some of these guys that Will Taylor went overseas and played for a little bit in Germany.
Lorenzo Keeler was down in Mexico.
He was. Okay. Yeah. So you see these guys kind of go do these things. And talk me through your decision to, obviously you were staying in shape, right? Otherwise that wouldn't have been a possibility, but talk about the decision to go play overseas and how that kind of came about.
Well, yeah. So once I finished, you know, graduated, I was helping out the team, then I graduated and I kind of had time to think about, you know, what it is I really want to do right now. Because I had my degree. You know, I had no real obligations at that point. I was going through the process of applying to dental school. So that was kind of where I was going. But I knew I was still really hungry to play, and I felt great. You know, my body was healthy. I was in shape. So it came to the point where I said, you know, I still have the desire to play. I really want to, so I'm going to go pursue this. And and that's kind of what started it.
Yeah, so then going, you know, thinking about pursuing it and then actually going and pursuing it are two, you know, different things. What options did you think you had after sitting out a year? I mean, you know, you're kind of a glue guy basketball-wise on Cal Poly, at least your last couple of years, playing a lot of different positions, filling in spots when necessary, playing the four sometimes, guarding the two sometimes, mm-hmm. you know, kind of a, I'd say like kind of enigmatic almost, really hard to kind of put your finger on exactly, you know, what all of your potential basketball-wise was. How did you figure out kind of where you could play and how that could happen?
So I've talked to a bunch of people about going to play overseas and everything, and I know what a lot of people say is that if you can get, you know, citizenship in a country to go play, you have it's kind of like a foot-in-the-door opportunity because you don't count as an import in their country on the team.
Right.
And a lot of teams have limits to how many imports they can bring in.
So this is the same thing that happened with Drake UU in Australia. The same thing that happened with Dylan in Mexico, Amari in the Dominican, probably.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I knew that out of all the countries I could go to, that Israel was the one I could get citizenship in. And I took a trip to Israel that year when I was a student assistant coach, right after the UCLA game. It was after the Riverside game, the first game of the season, the regular season. Flew out from L.A., took a two-week trip to Israel, got to see everything there is to see, and see if it was a place I could see myself living, you know, for an extended amount of time and playing. And that's kind of, after I went and saw everything, I found out, you know, how beautiful it is out there and how great the people are, and I decided that that's really what I want to do. So from that point on, that's when I got everything kind of rolling.
That's awesome. And what side of your family is Israeli? Like, I'm always curious. Like, I asked Dylan, I asked Drake.
So none of my family is Israeli.
Okay.
My mom is Jewish, which makes me Jewish as well.
Yep.
And if you are Jewish, you can apply for citizenship in Israel.
Got it.
And that's exactly what I did.
There you go. Fantastic. Yep. Fantastic. That's a great opportunity. I mean, you know, not everybody has the opportunity to go somewhere and kind of have a foot in the door with a job somewhere else. I think that's pretty cool. When you got over there, was there like a tryout period? Obviously you have an agent at some point. I see your agent or your agency post stuff sometimes. I think I follow them on Facebook. How does that like process work in terms of finding a team that needs a player like you and finding the right fit, kind of a team, you know, in terms of team chemistry and everything else?
Mm-hmm. So basically what happened for me is I ended up contacting a couple agents from Israel, and then I found the right one for me and told him my situation. And then he, you know, he kind of helped me through the process of becoming a citizen. And then, you know, when it was all finalized and really, you know, the next step was just finding a team. He came with me with a few different teams that were interested, and he said, "I think this is going to be the best team for you to start with. You have the most opportunity to to play and improve yourself there. And so that's, you know, the first time I was on for the first half of the season, that's where I was at Bar Yaakov in Israel.
Can you say the name of it one more time? I think you cut out for a second.
It's Bar Yaakov. Maccabi Bar Yaakov.
Yeah. It looks like Bar Yaakov.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. If people are trying to look it up on the internet or something. Okay. So you started off with them for the first part of the season. Are there a number of different leagues in Israel? Like, contextualize that for me. Is there like a top league and a second tier and a third tier league kind of thing?
Yeah, exactly. So it's very similar to everywhere else in Europe and overseas.
Right.
You know, you have a top league, a second league, a third league, and so on and so forth. In Israel, the main leagues are you got the top league, the winter league, and then the second league, the national league. Those are the two main leagues where you have imports on the teams, and you're getting paid, you know, a good salary.
Okay, and so which one was that first team that you played on?
I was in the second league, the national league.
Right. Okay, cool. And then so you went to a different team halfway through the season. Is that right? You like I feel like you changed teams.
Yeah, so I went from Bar Yaakov, which is kind of in the center of Israel near Tel Aviv. Then I moved up to Afula and was playing for Hapoel Afula, which is in the north.
Got it. And so the northern part of Israel there in the same league. And so, what was the move for? Did you get traded? Like, how did that work?
I was bought out of my contract.
Got it. So they bought you out of your contract in order to have you on their team.
Yes.
Okay. And so what was the experience like overall? I mean, like first year of professional basketball, a couple years out of Cal Poly, you're a little bit older maybe than some of the other guys that are there for the first time. Mm-hmm. You know, what's that experience like?
Well, it was a really great experience. You know, I really enjoyed all of it. You know, the thing about Israel is a little bit easier to adjust to than some other countries because people do speak English there. You know, the national language is Hebrew and then English.
Right.
So that's what everyone's speaking. And I was lucky, the first team I was on, I was playing with a player, Justin Baker, who I had played with against in high school and with in high school in AAU ball. So,
okay.
You know, we ended up on the same team, you know, 7 years later and 15 hours across the world. But, you know, and he had played a couple years, so he kind of helped me transition into, the lifestyle overseas.
Right. And being in Israel and maybe, do you speak any Hebrew now? Any better than you did when you went over there?
Very, very, very little.
So they don't make you take Hebrew or anything like that? There's not like a...
No, they don't make you. I would like to, there's a class that I get for free since I made my citizenship there. But it's a little time consuming, and I was really, you know, the whole new adjustment and everything, it was a little bit more than I was looking to do at the time.
Yeah, you're just trying to focus on basketball. So,
exactly.
This is kind of an interesting transition, too, because I really feel like there are some guys who, like, you know, whose game is, like, maybe suited to some kind of professional game, you know, even more than a college game or something like that. And your ability to kind of be a powerful wing or a, you know, kind of an undersized, quicker kind of four, even, you know, in some circumstances, what position do you even play over there?
Yeah, I'm pretty much playing the same position I've been playing my whole life, is like 3-4, you know.
Okay.
Like you said, undersized power forward or strong wing. You know, it's really nothing new to me. That's pretty much been my position since I can remember.
How did your game change in the year that you took off? Like, do you feel like you're more polished offensively than maybe even your senior season at Cal Poly, or like what are the differences in your game personally?
I think I've just had more opportunities with the ball in my hand offensively. Overseas, you know, it's a short shot clock, so kind of one of the things is, you know, the first open shot is usually the best shot, where in college, you know, people work the clock down all the way to the last shot, and especially at Cal Poly, you know, our offense was more of a kind of grind out offense than
the college game's a different game, right? I mean, it really is than any program.
Yeah, Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
So like in terms of just getting more opportunities, did you take the time that in the year that you had off, do you think, to like improve your, I mean, you're always a good jump shooter. I can picture a 3-pointer from the corner against Santa Barbara, I think in Claro's first year, at home that kind of clinched that one. If I'm remembering correctly, maybe you can make sure that I am, but yeah, I mean, do you feel like things like your jump shot, your mid range game, you know, some of those things, do you feel like they're like a lot more polished now than they were a couple years ago?
Yeah. I'd say so. You know, I just had more opportunity to work on it and actually, you know, use it in games and stuff like that. You know, just more time with the ball in my hands and just being more comfortable taking shots, you know. In college, you know, the amount of shots to go around wasn't as many as there are.
Sure.
Over, you know, professionally.
And your numbers reflect that. I mean, in terms of your average points per game and rebounds per game, even when you were coming off the bench, it looked like anyway on Eurobasket, maybe you weren't coming off the bench. Maybe that's just how they had you listed on there. I never know what to... Yeah.
There's some games where I was coming off the bench. I eventually solidified a starting spot, but you know, at the beginning in Bear Cove, and at the beginning when I first transitioned over to Hapoel Afula, I was coming off the bench.
Got it. Yeah, I depend on Eurobasket and Google Translate, off of Hebrew is not always, you know, the greatest thing in the world when I'm trying to keep up with you guys. Listen, it's better than whatever I get from Dylan, whose last name is apparently changed now. But
I think they had two Dylans on there.
There was a Dylan Gravaja and a Dylan Royer. Yeah, exactly. The best was following, you know, being able to follow Drake. They got it locked down in terms of like social media, and also they speak English, so you know, that's helpful. But definitely followed the NBL a lot last year too. Speaking of those guys, it seems like you and those guys and Chris Eversley and kind of that core group from the team, not even last year, but from the team like 2 years ago, seem super tight. Is that just the perception, or is that the reality of a lot of the guys from that team?
No, it's absolutely reality. You know, we all spend a lot of time together, very, very close. We still talk almost every day. You know, Chris, you know, we all had some things, or at least Dylan and I were, you know, kind of helping Chris through his transition overseas too, talking to him, you know, about the lifestyle. You know, the biggest transition really is the amount of downtime you have. You don't realize it, but when you go overseas, you go to practice, you go home, and then you just got a lot of time to sit and think, you know, watch TV, you know, check the internet, but it's a lot of just reflection time.
Does it get in your head at all? Like when you don't have something to do, do you have to like try to find something to do? Is it good to have nothing to do for a little bit?
It's good to have some time to relax, but it's definitely good to pick up a new hobby. You know, I started reading some books, and you know, I was able to make some good friends out there. But it is an adjustment because, you know, in San Luis Obispo, we're all very close. You know, we're like brothers, so. There's always somebody you just call up and go hang out with or go do something, but it's not necessarily like that wherever you are overseas when you're playing.
Got it. So you picked up reading then. That was your big time killer.
Oh yeah, I read about 5 or 6 books.
Nice. Yeah. I know I spent some time in the Alaskan bush for work, and so like there was nothing to do, and I got in some quality reading time, and so I can definitely relate. You know, when you're just out there and sometimes there's not a lot to do. I imagine Israel, there's a lot to do though, culturally. Yeah.
No, it's a very lively culture. You know, that's one of the things that makes it a little bit easier to adjust to in Israel than anywhere else I could imagine going.
You know, the political stuff going on, the battles that they're having, is any of that close to where you were? Is any of that worrisome? You're headed back to Israel this year, right?
Yeah. Yes, I'm headed back to Israel. I'm not really worried about it. But in relativity, everything is very close in Israel. I mean, it's a very small country.
Right.
About the size of New Jersey. But where I will be is I'll be in the north near Haifa. In a city called Kiryat Atta, and that would be the team I'm playing for. And it's away from the Gaza Strip and all that stuff, you know. Yeah, so I'm not really too worried about anything.
Got it. When you become a citizen, do you have to put some time in with the Army there?
Yes. So at the age I made my citizenship, I'm required to do 6 months.
Got it. And you're planning, and you plan to do that like after basketball? Is that kind of part of the deal?
We'll see. You know, I'll start getting in contact with the people that are in charge of that coming up, and then I'll see kind of where it goes from there.
Was there ever
most of the players on the team that are between 18 and 21, 22 are in the Army still. So,
mm-hmm.
So all the guys that are, you know, between 18 and 22, so men are required to serve in the Army for 3 years after high school. And most of the guys that are between that age are all the guys are traveling from base to practice, to the games, to back to on base and, you know, doing their duty. So it's really, you know, Army is a part of everyone's life out there, and it's just a normal thing.
That's so interesting to me, you know, in terms of just how that works. And it sounds like the Army is pretty cool about guys, you know, earning money, doing something else too at the same time, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's some restrictions to money and everything like that. You know, there's pay in the Army and stuff like that. But, you know, it's all details.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, definitely a different place. How much did everybody else going overseas influence you in terms of doing it? I mean, I know Christina Santiago even was in Israel for the first part of last season.
You know,
there's lots of people from Cal Poly going overseas to play hoops. It just seems like over the last, you know, especially since Joe Calero came in, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, there's players in the past too that I've known that have gone to play. I know okay. David Hansen's little brother Matt Hansen went to go play. Drayshawn Vance was in France and Denmark. And let me see.
I always forget that Dave Hansen had an older brother that played there because that was during the time that I was out of SLO.
Yeah, so he was a senior when I was a freshman.
Okay, so, okay.
Yeah, so and yeah, a few more guys. I think Trey might have gone over to the Philippines for a little bit or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's been a consistent flow of Cal Poly players overseas. I think someone I don't even know is Derek Stockhopper. I think he's out in Switzerland playing.
Yeah, he's on the Swiss national team, I think.
Yeah,
he was. Yeah,
so
yeah, that's
thing out there. I know.
That guy was super. Yeah, that guy was incredible. That's kind of the end of my, like, Cal Poly consciousness until like the last year of the Bromley era. So like, if you can picture me being like out of the state for a few years. So yeah, like Stockhopper and that team, that was the last team to get really close. I'm going to do the segue here. That was the last team to get really close to winning, I think, the Big West title until this past season. So this past year, where were you when Cal Poly advanced to the NCAA tournament?
Shoot. I was on my bed. It was 4 a.m. in the morning because if the game's at 7 out here in California, it's 4 a.m. In Israel. They're 10 hours ahead.
So did you wake up early or go to bed late?
I would take a little nap in between and then stay up and watch the game. Actually, I don't even think I could watch it. I had to radio it. So I was listening on the radio through online radio.
So you listen to Tom Barquette online? That's fantastic.
Yeah, the whole thing. So I was really, I wish I could have been there to celebrate with the guys. You know, it was such a great run. And, you know, I believed in them the whole time. You know, I was sending emails back to Coach Calero and some messages back to some of the guys, you know, the seniors especially, you know, just telling them that, you know, I was supporting them. And I know that, you know, they can make this push to really finish out the season strong.
Yeah, I was, you know, I always kind of thought that if, you know, when Cal Poly was going to make it, I always thought it would be, you know, maybe your senior year with so many seniors on the team. Is it kind of bittersweet or is it just sweet to see these guys that you know get there?
It's sweet to me. You know, I know personally that everyone that graduated over the past, you know, since Clara's been here has helped, you know, create that moment. So, you know, I would have loved to be a part of it, but, you know, I still do. I would like to be a part of it on the court, but I still do feel like I was a part of it, you know, all in all.
Yeah, and I think Joe was pretty, like, pretty honest about all that too, in terms of guys, you know, the program kind of as it builds, and the family thing is just interesting, you know, part that he brings to that equation in that way. So you're up at 4 a.m. watching this thing. Did you watch any of the NCAA tournament game too? The Texas Southern game or the Wichita game?
Yeah, actually, I was very lucky. The game that they showed, the one game that they showed on TV, was the game Cal Poly against Texas Southern.
I was there, man. It was awesome.
Yeah. So I actually got to watch that game live on TV. That was wonderful.
I remember having this surreal moment, because, you know, when you're at Mott and it's, you know, after the game and it's me and it's J.D. Scroggin and me and Stefan Teodosescu from the Mustang News, and it's just us three sitting upstairs there in Mott, you know, asking guys questions after the game or something, and I look up at the end of the Texas Southern game and there's Chris Eversley with Rachel Nichols, you know, getting interviewed. That was just such a surreal moment to me, you know, in terms of... just trying to process all that all at once. You know, it had gone in less than, you know, in like 5 days from Cal Poly, you know, being a sixth seed or whatever they were in the conference tournament to
seventh seed.
Less than a week. Yeah, seventh seed. And in less than a week, you know, Eversley's getting interviewed in the NCAA tournament by Rachel Nichols after a win with Reggie Miller and Len Elmore, I think, courtside. It was super hard to process in the moment.
Yeah. They earned it. They earned it. That's for sure.
For sure. Yeah, absolutely. And you see some recruits coming in and everything else. So I wanted to just say real quick too, we're going to have to start calling what you did in terms of sitting out a year and then going to play professionally. We're going to have to start calling that like the Jordan Lewis path, because now Chris O'Brien is following the Jordan Lewis path. He sat out a year, got himself healthy, got his body right, and looks like he's headed to Mexico to play on the same team as Dylan. How cool is that?
Yeah. He is lucky, man. That's awesome. That, you know, I couldn't be more happy for him, and I know Dylan's, you know, really happy about that too. You know, the opportunity to play professionally with a college teammate, I couldn't imagine, you know. That's awesome. They're going to have a great time down there, great season, and, you know, I know Chris is going to be ready. He's been kind of waiting for this opportunity, I know. So
yeah, I know he's had some back and knee issues, and it sounds like he, you know, throughout this whole year, he's been tweeting about being in the best shape of his life and all kinds of stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see, you know, what he can do. I think he's another guy who kind of was able to fill a lot of different roles, a lot like you, in terms of being able to play, you know, a wing position where you can, you know, knock down threes, being able to spread the floor, but then also, you know, being able to guard the four if really need be. And I'm sure in Mexico that's something, you know, he'll be able to do. I haven't seen him lately, so I don't know, you know, whether he's put on weight to do that or anything like that. But, you know, Chris always seemed like another guy who kind of filled in where you needed him to.
Yeah. Well, you know, he works hard, keeps his body in good shape, and he has, you know, great skill. So he will fit in perfectly. You know, he's a player that can play multiple positions on the court, and that's very valuable to the team.
Yeah, so kind of to wrap up here, what's your next, I don't know, couple weeks look like? How do we follow you in Israel? Like, what's the best way to for Cal Poly fans, especially, or Big West basketball fans, to keep track of what Jordan Lewis is doing on the other side of the world?
Yeah, so let's see, I take off on Friday. You know, it's a good long flight. Arrive on the 30th, and then practice starts on the 31st. And I'm not sure the schedule for preseason games, but I'm sure within the first week there'll be at least one. So yeah, I mean, just getting the team together and getting ready for the season, kind of getting some chemistry going for the team out there in Kiryathata. As far as following me, there is, you know, there's Eurobasket, which is probably the easiest way to navigate, you know, for anyone out here. But there is a website. I couldn't tell you the name of it, but I can shoot you a link, and it's this Israeli basketball website, and it has all the games archived on it. So basically, after a game is played, all of them are archived. But the site is completely in Hebrew. So.
Oh, but if I kind of know, or if I have Google, if I use like Google Chrome and translate the site, then I could probably at least find your team and be able to even watch the games afterwards if I wanted to. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, I could also send you a how-to video.
Yeah, send me the link, man. Absolutely. I'd be happy to post it. And yeah, I mean, that would be great to be able to keep track. I know I saw a YouTube video recently that was like highlights from last year. Certainly in terms of strength and being able to get to the basket and stuff like that, it looked like you had a little spring in your step there.
Yeah, you know, I got into my own, you know, good way into the season, but I started, you know, feeling really comfortable out there and being able to, you know, do what I do. But yeah, you know, I'm hoping to pick up where I left off, and you know, hopefully our goal this year is to, you know, I made it to the championship last season with Hapoel Fula, and we were knocking on the door of winning it, but, you know, this year is, the goal is to make it to the championship and take the championship and move up to the top league with Chiyot Alta.
So there is promotion and relegation, just like a British soccer team or whatever, too, right?
Yes. Okay. So you win the championship, you move up to the top league, and if you're last in the top league, you're moving down.
It's just a one for one switch, though.
Yes.
Because otherwise, you guys finish second, right? I mean, you would have already been there.
Sometimes I think they might do a couple of teams, but as far as I know, it's just one for one. And the same at the bottom of the second league, it'll go down to the third league. So
got it. I kind of like that.
Teams can move up and move down.
Yeah, I kind of like that ability to move up and move down, and there to be a little mobility, upward mobility, if you have a really good team in one league, in one division, to be able to do that. That's awesome. Well, Jordan, yeah. Do you have a Twitter account, or should people try to follow you?
I do not. Oh, I do not have a Twitter. I don't think I have enough interesting things to say. that's just me. I'm not a big, I don't post a lot of things.
Yeah. Yeah. You always seem kind of, let other things speak for you in terms of your play on the court.
Yeah.
That's fine. That's good. All right. Well, so I'll post, some links to where you can find Jordan's games on this post below as you're looking at it. If you're looking at it on fansmanship.com, and if you're looking at it on like Stitcher or iTunes, then, you can go to fansmanship.com and find those links. And so Jordan, I think, as much as you've been on, I think you've fulfilled your obligation to, to talk to me today. I really appreciate it. And good luck this year. Have a safe flight, and we'll be keeping track.
Yes. All right. Well, Dave, thank you. I really appreciate the interview.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Fansmanship Podcast. For more podcasts and more in-depth sports discussion, go to fansmanship.com.
Well, I've been stuck on down in Trouble Town. It's a lonely place, it's true. Street lights so bright, they blind my vision. And the people on the streets, they beat me up till I'm black and blue. From there.